right. Good morning. Welcome to Mercy Hill. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here. The first time I met Peter, who's one of our partners in Kenya, was actually here in Kennesaw at food trucks on Monday night. And so Peter and I just start to talk, and he starts to tell me the story about how he grew up in Kenya, came to faith in Christ, ended up moving to England for a period of time, was discipled and trained in ministry, didn't think he was going back to Kenya or not to Nairobi, but ended up back there. And in the course of the conversation, he mentions a guy's name. And I said, what was that name again? And he repeats the name. And I just start laughing over my fish tacos from out of the back of a truck, right? Because what is amazing about this big, huge world we live in is the guy, one of the guys who had invested in Peter in his time overseas, was actually my youth pastor's youth pastor. And I said, bro, we come from the same ministry tree. Like, we are connected. You're in Nairobi, I'm in Kennesaw, Georgia, and we're here over food trucks chopping it up and talking and realizing, like, our worlds are connected. And so, man, we love Peter and love the work that he's doing. One mistake that I typically make in my life, I don't know if you guys make this mistake, one mistake that I typically make in my life, and I do it consistently, and why I need to hear from people like Amanda, is I have a tendency to believe that my world is the world. Anybody else do that? My problems, everybody's problems, my family, just like everybody else's family. Kids, I start to think that my school, just like everybody's school. I start to think that everybody eats meals the way I eat meals, right? Everybody has access to go to Chick-fil-A whenever they want. Everybody could go to Zoyo after a terrible doctor's appointment, right? With the kids, just to cheer everybody up. Everybody can order pizza on a Friday night and have family movie night. I start to think that my world is the world. But the more you meet people who live in different parts of the world, even different parts of our city, the more you start to see that not everybody's experiences and not everybody's life is the same as mine. That my world's not the world. My world's just a small part of the entire world. And it's amazing how quickly we start to believe that our world is the entire world. Our problems are the world's problems. Our luxuries are enjoyed by all people. And our way of thinking is the way the whole world thinks. Well, why is that a problem? Because when I and when we start to believe that our world is the world, we tend to forget that God is at work in the entire world, not just in my little corner of it. That God has a global purpose, a big, huge, worldwide purpose. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this idea that God blesses his people so that they could be a blessing, all the way back to when God started the nation or the people of Israel with Abraham. The promise was what? That he was going to bless Abraham so that Abraham's descendants could be a blessing to all the families of the earth. That even when God chose this one people to reveal himself to, that always in mind was that this massive global purpose would be accomplished. And then last week, my friend Bo preached while I was gone. I listened back to it. He did an incredible job. If you haven't heard Bo's message from last week, you need to get online, go to mercyhill.com, download that thing, listen to it on your phone, whatever. Great job explaining how part of being a good neighbor is leading with compassion. And that when Jesus teaches us about being a good neighbor, Jesus isn't drawing the circle small so we can decide whoever is like us, fits in our circle, will love and be compassionate towards, but the people who aren't, we don't need to be a good neighbor to. That no, Jesus is taking and like doing away with the whole circle and saying what this whole thing is about is being a neighbor to everyone. It's about your character, not how tight you can draw the circle. And so today I want to continue that idea in our series on neighborhoods and nations and hopefully give us again a big picture view of what God's doing. So one of my favorite passages is Psalm 68. We're just going to look at three verses at the beginning of Psalm 68. If you have a Bible, you could turn there. If not, we're going to put it on the screen. All right, kids, you guys ready? Here's the deal. I'm going to need some help, all right? because some of your parents are not very good at paying attention. All right? So here's what I need you to do. You guys got elbows? Who's got elbows? Show me your elbows. Yeah, you can show me those elbows, right? So if mom or dad starts to kind of drift off, not paying attention, here's what you need to do. You ready? Can you try that right? Hey, pay attention. Pay attention. Can you do that? Let's try it. Let's try it. Let's pretend mom's drifting off, dad's drifting off, not paying attention. What are you going to do? Pay attention, right? This is important. Whisper, hey, this is important. Oh, man, you guys are so good, so good. All right, here we go. Psalm 67, verse 1. The psalmist writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Three verses, three big ideas. Here's the first big idea. This passage begins with a prayer of blessing. Or with answering this question, what are we asking God to do? All right, if you're a kid, tell me that question. What are we asking God to do? Let me hear you. You say it out loud. What are we asking God to do? You do it. What are we asking God to do, right? So the psalmist is asking God to do something. What are we asking God to do? Well, here's what he says in verse 1. He's asking God to be gracious to us, to bless us, and to make his face shine upon us. He's asking God to do three things. To be gracious to us, which means that God would give us what we don't deserve, that God would extend his kindness to us, that God would forgive us. He's asking us that God would bless us, that he would enrich our lives. Mainly, we talked about a couple weeks ago, he blesses us in a lot of ways, but the big way is through a relationship with him, that we would be fully satisfied in knowing him, and that he would make his face to shine upon us. Now, that's a silly one, right? Kids, what does that mean, to make his face shine upon us? Anybody? Is it glow paint? God's going to get glow paint on his face, right, and look at us so he's glowing? What do you think, maybe he's got flashlights for eyes? Is that what's going on? What does that mean, to make his face to shine upon us? Here's what it means. It means that he would see us and be pleased with us. Oh, man, this is good. I don't know about the way it works at your house, but my kids like to do cool stuff. Anybody like to do cool stuff in your house? So I have one kid who loves putting on plays and performances, and you know what that kid wants to do? Invite my wife and I, Miss Kristen and I, to come and watch. And you know what that kid's looking for? My face to shine upon it, right? For me to smile and to say, that's great. That's awesome. I got one kid that just learned how to use a pogo stick. It's like a flashback to like 1956 or something. I don't know what's going on. But he's out there pogoing, set a record, 173 straight pogos. And you know what he wants to do? Dad, come check it out. Mom, come check it out. Watch me on my pogo stick, because what is he after? That my face would shine upon what he's doing. That's a man, that's awesome. Great job. Love it. I can never do that, right? I'm about 25 pounds too heavy to be pogoing on that pogo stick. Now, so we're praying. Remember, what's the question? Anybody remember the question? What are we asking God to do? We're asking God to give us what we can't provide for ourselves. We're asking God to enrich us, to bless us, and we're asking that God would be pleased with us. Now, that's a good prayer. How do we know when that prayer has been answered? Well, there's an interesting thing about this prayer. This prayer, it goes all the way back to Numbers chapter 6, when the priests who were being instituted into their office were taught to say this blessing or this prayer over all the people. Now, anybody know what a priest is? Anybody know what a priest is? Got some ideas? Yeah, any of you kids? What's a priest do? Do you know? A priest is someone who mediates or stands between God and people. And so a priest, especially in the Old Testament, was a man chosen by God who would talk to God on behalf of people. Well, check this out. God actually sent a mediator or someone to help us work out our relationship. He sent one man who is the perfect mediator, the perfect priest. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, "For there's one God and there is one mediator between God and men." Who is it? The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. You see, everything about this prayer, what we are asking God to do, be gracious to us, bless us, make his face shine upon us, we find the ultimate answer to that prayer in Jesus. That he is the priest or the mediator that came to restore us in a relationship with God. And the very height of God's grace to us is found in Jesus. And the very height of God's blessing to us is found in Jesus. And the very reason that God can turn his face to us and shine upon us and be pleased with us is because of Jesus. And so this prayer or blessing that started all the way back in Numbers actually finds its fulfillment in Jesus. All right, if you're under 12, say Jesus for me real quick. Under 12, say it. Jesus. All right, so you ready? I'm going to ask you some questions. You guys already know the answer. All right, you ready? Where do we find the best example of God's grace to us? Who is it? Yes, that's good. All right, where do we find God's ultimate blessing to us? Where? Who? Yeah, you kids got this. Where do we see God's face shine on us? When's God's most pleased with us? When we know who? Oh, man. You guys are the best. You got it. You got it. Cool. All right, so what does this mean? Well, second part. You ready? First part was a prayer for blessing. The second part is the purpose of God's blessing. Or we're going to ask this question, kids. Why would God do that? Why? Oh, yeah. That's good. Why would God be gracious? Why would God bless us? Why would God cause his face to shine upon us? Why would he do any of that stuff? Why would he send Jesus to be the perfect example of his grace and blessing and Jesus to perfectly represent him to us, right? Why would he do all that? Check it out. Next phrase. You ready? That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. This key word is that. The reason that God has been gracious to us, and the reason that God blesses us, and the reason that God causes his face to shine upon us, or let me say it a different way, the reason that God sent his son Jesus to rescue us from sin and death is so that his way would be known on the earth and his saving power among all the nations. Now, his way, that means the way of following God, the way that God wants us to live our lives. And that's an important way because that's God's intention for us. That's the way our lives are meant to work perfectly. And so when we are out of sync, when things aren't right, maybe kids, you got a bad attitude, things aren't good at home, things aren't good at school, all of that traces back to that we, all of us together, don't know and aren't following God's way. And so God wants his way to be known, everybody to know it, no exceptions. And then he says he wants his saving power to be known. So not just his way, not a certain way of life, but God wants all people to know that he saves, that he's powerful enough to save, that he can rescue. And that's why it's so important that we understand that verse 1 ultimately points to Jesus, because verse 2 means that everybody, God blessed you, God was gracious to you, God caused his face to shine upon you, you came to know Jesus so that all the earth would know the saving power of God found in his son Jesus. That's a big mission, right? Here's the way we say it at Mercy Home. We say we exist so that Jesus, to exalt Jesus, make much of Jesus, and we want to make much of Jesus in two ways, by demonstrating his love and by telling his story to our neighbors, that was last week, and the nations, that's this week. So we exist. The reason this church exists, why we set up and tear down in a middle school auditorium, why we're organizing into missional communities, why we have some people meeting in D groups, the reason that we exist is to exalt Jesus, by demonstrating his love and telling his story. And we start with our neighbors, but we don't stop there. We go all the way to the nations, which is the last question. Are you ready? Last question. What's the scope of God's blessing? Or we can ask it this way, kids. How big is this? Everybody say that. How big is this? How big is it? Well, there's some key phrases. Verse 2, all nations. Verse 3, all the peoples. So how big is God's purpose? Who does God want to know about his way and his saving power? Just people in Kennesaw? No, just here, right? Just us. No? Just people in Georgia? No. Just people in the United States? No. Just people in North America? No. Just people who were nice? No. No. All people, right? The scope of God's work is global. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. When the Bible talks about nations, most often it's talking about this idea of people groups or a people who share a similar culture and language. So it doesn't necessarily mean geopolitical nations, right? That's the way we think of nations, as the United States is a nation, or Russia is a nation, or China is a nation, or Argentina is a nation. But all of those nations are actually filled with dozens, if not hundreds, of people groups. In fact, in the world today, there are 17,095 different people groups. So groupings of people who share a similar language and culture. And all of those live in a variety of different nations, in a variety of different places. Now, here's the problem. Remember, what's God's global purpose? That all people would know about his way, and all nations would know about his saving power. The best that we can calculate right now, out of those 17,095 people groups, 7,151 of them are unreached, which means they do not have a consistent witness of Christianity or someone who is following Jesus engaged in their people group on a regular basis. Does that make sense? 7,151. So there's a variety of numbers that can come there. This comes from Joshua Project, which I'm going to share with you a little bit later, but they do research all the way, all over the world. So in our world today, nations, 7,151 are not engaged with a consistent gospel witness. Now, there's a problem when we go back to the beginning, because God was gracious to us, and God blessed us, and God caused his face to shine upon us for what reason? So that I would feel better about my life in the metro Atlanta suburbs. Now, is it good to feel better? To have experienced personal joy? Yeah, for sure. But is that the only reason why God blessed us? No. That all the nations would know his way and his saving power. 7,151. Out of 17,095. So what does this mean for us, right? What does this mean for us? I know you're like, Brandon, heard it before. Come on. I'm just a college student. I'm just a third grader. I'm a grandma. I'm a mom. I'm a school teacher. I'm just a business guy. What could I do? How could I be a part of that? It seems like there's too many obstacles. Well, in a little bit, we're going to celebrate baptism together of one of my most favorite human beings on the face of the planet, Judson Sampler. And Judson is actually named after a missionary, Adoniram Judson. And he has an amazing story, Adoniram Judson, of how he ended up in Burma. But what happened is that one part of the story is the day that he signs up to go overseas to Burma, he meets a girl named Anne. and he is head over heels in love with Anne. And so in the period of time between when he commits to go and when he actually goes on the field, they fall in love. And he's like, what am I going to do? I'm supposed to go to Burma, right? I'm heading out of here, but I got this girl. And so here's what he does. Adoniram Judson writes a letter to Anne's dad asking for her hand in marriage, if her father would approve. And this is the letter. You ready? I have to now ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, and to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. This is going well so far, right? Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home, died for her and you, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion in the glory of God? Can you consent to all this in hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness, brightened with acclamations of praise, which shall redound to her Savior from the heathen saved through her means from eternal woe and despair? What a letter. If you're a dad and you got this letter, be like, check no, please, right? Check no right now. But Anne's father agrees. Ask her if this is the life that she wants to pursue. She says yes, and they leave and end up in Burma. And here's what's striking about this, is most of these consequences, we don't have anymore. That we can be in Kenya in 17 hours, and we have immunizations. And we have this amazing thing called the internet where we can Skype and FaceTime and see our family. And yet this family is willing to never possibly see each other again for the sake of all nations hearing about the way and saving power of Jesus. So is it complicated? Sure. Would there be reasons why you couldn't participate? Maybe. But we live in a unique time and place where most of the barriers for us are gone, except for the barriers of our own hearts. And so today I want to ask if you would consider how you can be a part of God's global purposes. We were going to show a video, but actually it's a video from last year, so some of you guys have already seen it, so we're going to skip it. And I'm just going to give you three or four ways you could participate. All right, you ready? Number one is you could pray. Prayer is a powerful weapon. You could pray that God would be gracious to us and bless us and to cause his face to shine upon us and that we would see all of that in light of God's global purposes. You could pray like we're going to in a moment for Peter Abungu and Swahiba and the shoe campaign that we're a part of. You could pray along with the website, the Joshua Project. I'll put the site up here, which gives you daily an unreached people group to pray for. You could begin just by prayer. A second way that you could participate is by giving. Man, we love the work that Peter's doing in Kenya. We would love for you to give. $10 buys a pair of shoes for a kid that lives in the Nairobi slums. Why is that so important? Well, because a slum is full of disease and kids walking around without shoes are highly susceptible to disease. And so giving a kid a pair of shoes is not like, hey, let's give you a pair of shoes for the basketball team and the basketball season, right? It's let's give you a pair of shoes to keep you healthy and alive. And what I love about Peter is every kid that receives a pair of shoes is also going to hear about the way and the saving power of Jesus. And so you could text that even right now to give $10. To donate shoes. Another way that you could give is coming up in our church at Christmas. We're going to talk about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which is a way that we raise money to fund missionaries overseas. We have a partnership with this organization called the International Mission Board, which is why our church exists in many ways. We love the work that they do, and you can give to support that work. We have, I don't know if you know this, but fully funded missionaries all over the field. They're not coming back, raising support, asking for more money. When we give, we help keep missionaries on the field. So you could pray, you could give. The last thing, or the third thing you could do is you could go. This summer, we're going to go to Kenya, spend time in Nairobi, in the Kibera slums. Amanda would love to talk to you more about that trip. You could go. If you're a college student, we're going to put a website up here called sendmenow.net, and you can go this summer, usually for free, and serve somewhere all over the world. Those applications are due at the end of the month, and so if you are interested as a college student and you want to jump on board with that, you can check out sendmenow.net. Finally, for some of you, if you want to consider long-term going, again, I would just point you to the International Mission Board, and you could look over job descriptions. If you are a college student, please clue back in, click back in with me right now. There's a program called Journeyman, where after college graduation, you can spend 2 years serving as a missionary overseas. It's an unbelievable program. And if you're not sure what you want to do next in life, you're not sure where you're going to find a job, you're a little unsettled and that sort of thing, this might be an option for you. So you can check all that out, imb.org. The last thing, though, which I think is the most important thing maybe for all of us, because we've all heard all of these things before, that we can pray, that we can give, we can go. The last thing I would ask you to do is maybe grow. And by that, what I mean is grow your heart. And you can do that in a variety of ways, spending time in the Word, interacting with people who've served on the field. I'm going to give you just two great resources for me. One is this book. It's called To the Golden Shore. It's a biography on Adoniram Judson. And if you want to grow your heart towards God's global purposes, one of the best places to start is reading accounts of great men and women who have done it. And so I would highly recommend this book to you, To the Golden Shore. The author is Courtney Anderson. And if you want to just spend some time, look, it's thick. All right, I get that. So if you're intimidated by that, get it on Kindle and read it. You don't even know how thick it is. It's always the same size. All right. Last book, which is important to me. Both these books are important to me, but this one's incredibly important. It's called The Spiritual Secret of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor's a missionary in China. My son is named after Hudson Taylor, and if you want to grow your heart to God's global purposes, this is another great resource to start. Just stories of men and women who serve the Lord faithfully in a variety of international contexts. God, you have been so gracious to us in a variety of ways. But most importantly, you've been gracious to us by sending us your son, Jesus, who has rescued us and forgiven us, who's a gift to us that we didn't deserve. And God, you blessed us, and you've blessed us with jobs and homes and families and a long list of things, but you've really enriched our lives and fully satisfied us through Jesus and given us a peace and joy and hope that we couldn't earn apart from you. And Father, when we felt relationally distant from you, you turned your face to us by sending Jesus. And we know that you are pleased with us because of the work of your Son. And all of that is so amazing, and we just love it and pray we would never get over it. But we know part of that is because you have a purpose for the entire world. And so, Father, we just pray that you would use us in whatever means possible. If it's through prayer, that we would be consistent prayers for your glory among all peoples and all places. If it's through giving, that we would see that you have blessed us financially in order that we could push forward your mission to the ends of the earth. If it's through going, that for some of us, that we would be on a website or gathering information even this afternoon to figure out how we could go overseas. And Father, for all of us, could you just grow our hearts with increased capacity to love our neighbors, including our neighbors in our cul-de-sac, all the way to the nations, to the ends of the earth. And that we would lead with compassion, we would lead with hope, and that all people in all places would come to know your way and your saving power. So, Father, we just humbly ask that you would use us here. But Father, that the light that shines the furthest would shine the brightest at home, and that that light would also shine to the ends of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Amen.